fire escort. I said, our souls here, if we throw without a job, go out and get the trash waiting inside. Clean the street. Don't let that trash be out there blowing all around the store. Let us throw a man out there. What are you doing? I'm taking the trash off. Out in front of the store. Say, why are you doing that? My dignity calls for that. This is our neighborhood. This is our neighborhood. Our dignity asks us to clean the trash from your store. We have to come in out your store. I told them, if you can paint, you can't find a job painting. You see a house on the block that's an eyesore and it needs painting, go tell the neighbor that I'm a Muslim and I want to paint this house. So how much you want God to do? Nothing if you don't have it. Nothing. My dignity asked me to go to work, and the Illinois State Department has no work for me. I can't find work, but my dignity says I need work. My manhood says I need work. So I want to work until I can get paid for it, so that my soul will feel good. Yes, so I preach this philosophy. I preach this philosophy to our brothers who were militant members of the Nation of Islam, FLI, the Fruit of Islam. I preached it to them, and they were happy to join. And they started to, and they impressed the city so much. They got the fire department chief to come down and talk to us. Yes, right, sir. The police chief had to come and talk to us. Businesses stopped talking to us. They liked us. Believe me, they have our history, brother. And that's why Imam is sitting at the table in the chat. We are going to be responsible for the business life in our own neighborhood. We have the limited liability company that enables us to form a company and have shares, $2,000 shares, and design a method, a plan for bringing the poorest brother who's in justice to have the character of what I call our group, the striving industrious poor. I love to refer to us as the striving industrious poor. And that is to say, if you're lazy, you're in the wrong company. The striving industrious poor. We're the striving industrious poor. So, we want to be responsible for business life in our neighborhood. This CPC effort has enabled us to, if you don't have $2,000 for one share, we have a plan. If you trust each other, to have any of you contribute $250. Eight. I believe 8 times 250 is 2,000, isn't it? I believe it is. I don't have the papers before me, but I think that's the difference. Okay. So to have it, I'll put it pretty good in that. I couldn't read that well, but they told me when I took the GED test that I was pretty good at math. I scored in the upper percentile for the whole United States. Yes, I got the proof at home. So anyway, we are making a picture so eight poor brothers can get together and only have some of the $200. And trust one of you, sisters, brothers, mixed, we don't care. There's no sex party here. Do it like you want. Come on together with the 2,021 there and have someone represent you. One person must represent you, that's all. You have to trust one person to represent you. And they will put the money into the investment in their name, and you will have the benefit together. Each person will share the benefit of whatever that one share brings, and that will be buy products and sell products and realize the profit. And we are working hard to make sure we always realize the profit, and I believe God has helped us come up with this concept. God has helped us come up with this concept, this answer for our poverty and our business actions, our actions of business sense. Because this program is also going to be a program to educate, to better educate us so that we'll have better business sense. Some things I don't like to say with the business sense. certain people among us to go. But I have to say this. You know what makes the rich rich? The mob. You know what this is right here? This is a mob. Right. Look at the numbers behind you. Turn around, look. Look back. That's a market. All of you have needs. All of you are buying things. You're buying things. You have to. If we decide that we're going to try to supply our market with as much as we possibly can, and we agree that we are going to buy supplies from our suppliers, CPC and others. There are other efforts too. We're not going to, you know, if anybody can, we welcome competition. If somebody wants to start another effort, call it something else, that's okay, that's good for me. But we have CPC efforts. If you will discipline your own self and say, well, why should I buy this gasoline when CPC is selling the same thing? It's competitive, it doesn't cost any more, it's just as good, etc. So why should you get in this? You should want to see your community become your supplier. If that happens, your community will become the rich man. Yes, your community will become the rich man, not the rich woman. I think it sounds better if I say your community will become the rich woman. I like that a little better. Yes, your community will become the rich woman. So trust me, and I'm not Eddie Murphy. In order to have God love us and help us have the circumstances we want for our good life, we're going to have to open up our hearts. What did God say to Muhammad? That he said, I've expanded your breast. I've expanded your breast. He was already having a big human heart, a big breast open, but God said he expanded for him his breast. He enlarged it even more. He enlarged it to take on more, because that first prophet was weeping over the condition of human beings. He was weeping over the condition of his people, Arabs, of the peninsula of Arabia. He was weeping over the condition of those people. But God eventually informed him and enlarged his breast, his chest, his heart, to receive the whole of the suffering people on this earth. That's what we have to do. We can't be Muslims and not care about others. We can't be Muslims and not register what is happening to them, that is hurting their life and denying them a good future. Pakistan, a great nation, Pakistan, but it's having serious problems now. We must have Pakistan in our hearts. We must have the Pakistani people in our hearts. I visited South America, the Catholic quarters of a place called Chiapas, Mexico, up in the hills. And there I found the natives of that area that we call Indians. They don't like to be called Indians. They like to be called natives. That's a native, not Indian. So we found them and discussed their situation with them and let them know that our hearts were with humanity and that they are part of humanity, and that we want to see them have peace and want the government of Mexico to look at their situation more seriously and help them have some kind of social justice and dignity as human beings. We did that. We are among them. So we can't be here and not have the natives of Chiapas in our hearts. We can't be in the United States and not have the natives we call Native Americans here in our heart. We can't be really true Muslims with understanding and know that there are white people in Appalachia, or white people in the neighborhood who are suffering. Don't you know some white people don't have education? Some white people don't have money? Some white people are victims of drugs? Some white people are victims of poverty, drugs, and ignorance, and alcoholism, and prostitution, etc. We can't be Muslims if we don't have them in our hearts. I read recently in the Tribune an article for Immigrants' Difficult Choices by Teresa Puente, Tribune staff writer. And she presented a family that you had on the very first page of the Tribune. This family, because of the changes now for the welfare system, food stamps, they're weeping, wondering how will they, they're poor, they don't have enough money, how will they eat now? Food stamps are cut off suddenly. In less than a month, they're going to be without those food stamps, without their groceries. We just can't think of African Americans who are going to be cut off and how they are going to get along. We have to think of how Rosa Alba Blair, that poor family of Mexicans, how they are going to get along. See, this is how you have to be a real Muslim, a true Muslim, a real believer. You have to open up your heart to people who share the same essential life that God gave you, human life. Human life is one life. If you don't care anything about the human life in me, God will sooner or later cause you to not to care anything about the human life in yourself. That'll be your punishment. God will bring it upon you sooner or later. If you don't care about the human life in me, sooner or later he's going to cause you to not care about the human life in yourself. I'm opposed to Saddam of Iraq. I'm opposed to his political ideology that he got from a non-Muslim. I'm opposed to all of that. But I know in Iraq are many sincere, innocent, believing Muslims. And their children are now suffering because our government has embargoed against them. Our government has a plan to force them to get rid of Saddam. Our government has embargoed against Iran. Still in place. I would love to go back home and hear that it's been lifted, but I don't think so. And the children of Iraq are suffering. Thousands of them suffering. Horrible, horrible conditions. All money has been taken away from them. They have to defend their country. They have to defend it. They have to pay for this. They have to pay for reconstruction. So they don't have, they can't afford to give their citizens the wages that they used to get, their workers, the wages that they used to get. So many of them are living in poverty and their children are starving. Their children are dying. Need medical attention. Need food. Need a decent meal. So we must have the Iraqis in our hearts. We must have the Iranians in our hearts. We must have the people of Bosnia in our hearts. We must have the people of Somalia in our hearts. We must have humanity, suffering humanity in our hearts. We have to do what Allah requires a Muslim to do, a believer to do. Expand your breast. Let more room. Push those ribs out. It's too constricted. Too constricted. Open up. So more people concerned can come into your heart. The Palestinians, I visited them, and I was there with them, eating and sleeping with them. for several days. They live in a virtual prison. Don't believe what you hear in the news. The Palestinians, their life is like a life in one big prison. Some of them have to get a pass, a car, to cross the street. They look across the street, they're looking into an area that the Israeli government says they can't go in that area. It's another form of apartheid on the Palestinian people. I was there, I saw it for myself. A very menacing show of force, of power and force. Everywhere we went, it was intimidating. The way the Israeli soldiers were there with live weapons, armed guns, machine guns, automatic weapons. They are looking at us and staring at us, letting us know that if you do one little thing out of line, you'll be killed instantly. That's the terror that I have to deal with as a visitor, as a citizen of these United States. I know you know about it, Brother Baker. As a citizen of these United States, I'm there, and I'm being searched and stripped, and all of my underclothes being looked at like this. Not they have the sophisticated equipment that could know if I had the pinpoint of any metal or anything in my dog. They would have known it with their sensitive equipment, but that's just to humiliate you. That's to tell you, I don't care if you're a citizen of the United States, it means nothing to us. We're going to show you what we think about your U.S. citizenship. Take your underclothes, just stir at it. Go through all your paper, every little picture, look at the stuff. I knew it was perfectly, I knew it was necessary, so I asked God to help me contain myself. I asked Allah to help me contain myself, so I was very calm. I was like Abraham in the furnace, and no flame was touching me. Yes. So I know the situation there. I've been there. I saw it. I saw areas where they won't let the plumbing be direct. They won't let the plumbing be fixed. And the sewage is rolling down the street, all in the walk. You can't walk without stepping in the sewage. Because they won't allow them to have it right. And they said the Palestinians are not a lazy people. They have a long history as in various industrious people. They are builders, they are craftsmen, they are masons. Builders, great builders, iron workers. They are industrious people, and they have a fantastic ability to run a good market. Oh, they're fantastic business people. So they said, all we have to have is our freedom, our land back, and our freedom. They say, we don't need Israel to do these things for us. We can fix the plumbing. We can bring the water into our housing. We can clean up this mess. We can build these buildings up. But they have us here in check. They call it as it's like camp, prison camp. And I said to myself, I was flying back on the plane. I was looking back on what I saw, what I seen. And I said, no, it's worse than a prison camp. It's just one big prison. There's one big prison cell. Their mosque is in jail. You hear what I'm saying to you? Their mosque is in jail. Their schools are in jail. Their families are in jail. One big jail they call the Palestinian court or the Palestinian territory. So you know, I believe our government is sincere, or I believe a great number of persons in our government are very sincere, and they want to see this thing change. But this government is made to run according to the will of its citizens. And as long as they think Muslims and other Americans don't care, ain't no pressure on them to do anything about it. So more of us have become more political aware in the international court, in a national circle. We have to become more politically aware and support efforts like the efforts by our dear brother, William Day, who risked his life to go into Kashmir and see what the problem is, to see the evidence. Risked his life, have had attacks upon his life several times, escaped three shots that were fired out of a weapon at him, at a distance where you would expect he would be dead. But God saved you, and we know God can save you. God says he's the giver of life, and no one can take it away without his permission. So when we go, it's going to be because God wants us back, wants us home. Okay? Don't fear. I know you don't fear, but I'm letting you know not to fear. We fear nothing but God. And it's the fear of God that saves us from our own thinking that will get us in trouble. It's the fear of God that saves us from our own hands that will get us in trouble. That fear of God through the whole sermon. I would like for you to give it one day. This is a tremendous preacher for God. A man who knows how to bring the lost soul back to God. You know how to bring the lost soul back to God. No longer call ourselves knowledgeable Muslims and not know that God has given Muslims a role, leading role, I would say, in the work of working for better conditions for all human beings. So we must be aware of the suffering on the continent of Africa, Asia, Europe, America, the islands, wherever suffering is, we must have a place for those people in our hearts. I'm going to bring this to a close now. The last thing I want to bring to you as a concern that we have to be serious about, we know that many people's faith are persecuted because of their religion. And sometimes politics is used as an excuse to persecute them. They will single a particular religious group out because they are not conforming as the leaders, the government, would want them to conform. And they will find all kinds of reasons to persecute them. And sometimes they will persecute them in the name of religion because they're saying their religion is bad or their religion is making trouble. And religion won't be the cause or the problem at all. It'll be that they're there and they don't want to share the wealth. They want the wealth for the Germans, or they want the wealth for the French citizens, or they want the wealth for the Irish citizens, or for the Polish citizens. I'm just naming, giving these names. Could be anybody. Or for the African citizens. And so they see these people who are not of their race, are not of their nationality, as people that they can treat bad, or cut off of the graces of God. Well, after all this is the graces of God. Whatever we get of wealth or what a mark or whatever it is, it's from of the graces of God. So they will cut certain ones out of the graces of God. And they will use the religion as an excuse and persecute them. We know Muslims are persecuted in certain parts of the world. Right now, Muslims are being persecuted in certain parts of the world. But Christians are also being persecuted in certain parts of the world. And I'm told by Christian leaders that I'm meeting at the table in the sky, on the mountain. I'm told by them that persecution of Christians has grown in this century to surpass all persecution in the history of Christians. Now that's frightening, isn't it? That's really frightening. I kind of feel that it's exaggerated a little bit, but I know that it's very serious. The persecution of Christians on this earth today is a very, very serious matter. And we must not let Christians bear this burden alone. Muslims, we are believers in God, and they are believers in God. Their hurt has to be our hurt. We are all human, and we are people of faith. So let us stand together and fall together if we have to. We are not wealthy or poor, but I hope one day our business plan will establish us strongly in a financially solid community. And I would love to one day say, I'm offering in your name $500 million to relieve suffering in all the world. In all the world. Not just Muslim suffering, in all the world. Christian suffering, Jew suffering if they're suffering. I guess they don't tell you when they're suffering. I guess they tell the United States government. But if they're suffering, I want to answer their need too. If I ever get able, if they're suffering, I want to answer their need too. Buddhists, everybody, Hindus, everybody. Thank you very much. I hope I've made myself very clear.
The meeting is not over. The meeting is not over. Imam Muhammad will be right back. He's just going to escort Dr. Shula to his car. But he's going to be right back. So stretch your legs and take a seat. And we will begin with the next portion of the program. As a matter of fact, we're going to begin right now. The next portion of this program. So let's sit down and relax. The email will be right back. He just told me that. He'll be right back. Now everybody can't get in those restrooms at the same time. So some of you have to wait till the other ones come out. The restroom front and in the mid. But the email will be right back. In the meantime, you know, we have to hear from certain people. There are some guests of Imam Muhammad that are still here. That you must hear. They have very important messages for you. And I. So please don't leave. Now unless you want to get this on this video tape. Universal respect and acceptance. Imam Muhammad's Palestinian trip is on there. His Palestinian trip is on there. And when he comes back, you're going to see that portion on the screen of Imam Muhammad's Palestinian trip. You want this in your collection of videos, commissioned by the convention. You want it in your collection of videos. So please don't leave without getting this video, and don't leave anyway until Imam Muhammad comes back and dismisses us in the proper way. This is the convention, and we're all delegates from our cities and our states. So let us relax for a minute, Imam Muhammad is coming back. Dennis Muhammad. Dennis Muhammad. we have a boss boy.